year is drawing to a close, and werewolves, zombies, flocks of crows announce into the dead black air that spooky time is finally here. Carter Doge and Jordan too must brace themselves and not get spooked by horror films both new and older in the evil that is Chunktober.
Chunk-or-treat! Chunk-or-treat! Hello?
I guess nobody's home.
Oh, you're home. Welcome to Two Chunks in a Hunk, the movie podcast where we give pumps and dumps. I haven't said that intro in...
That's not even our tagline anymore.
I know, man. What a throwback. If I don't start the exact same way, I lose all ability to do an intro of any kind. Hey, here's the deal. You probably can't tell because of my costume, because I look so much like Link from The Legend of Zelda, which I did dress up as like four Halloweens in a row. But I am Jordan Wonders, the Wonders one, and I'm a chunk this time. Shut up.
I'm allergic to your Halloween dust and your cobwebs. I'm Doge, and it's just a little chunkus punkus.
Chunkus punkus.
Hold up, let me find my quote.
Man, pre-coffee Carter is rough.
Ooh, I can't wait to find out why you're the hunk.
And I'm Carter, and hunk, 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 double hunk.
That'll work.
The one swear in this movie. Hey, why are you the hunk?
I'm the hunk because I am fighting against the norm. You know, I'm like that trendy
counterculture.
Trendy person. Yeah, I'm super countercultural today. Because I have chosen not, I haven't chosen. I just haven't had coffee yet. And so we're going to see how this goes. I'm really doing this as an experiment for the sake of the podcast. Honestly.
We got that unfiltered, raw, unpasteurized Carter energy.
Mm-hmm. This is that Two Chunks test kitchen right now.
It's the test kitchen. And you get to be a part of this study that we're doing. I'm collecting data.
Well,
for a big, big study.
Speaking of tests, look, I know that much like how tests are difficult, this season, Halloween, has been difficult for some of you, our dear listeners, because I know, for instance, my own mother listens to this podcast and she don't do horror. It's just too spooky. And I know that's the case for some of you. So our hope is this. This episode is, I don't want to say olive branch because, you know, it's not a peace offering so much as it is, hey, this is, you know how when you're a kid and some houses, they decorate spooky and you're too afraid to go knock on the door?
Yep.
Well, this podcast is the house with the sign out front that says the only ghost here is the Holy Ghost. Amen. So you know they're not going to scare you and they're going to maybe have nerds or king size candy bars.
No way,
or something,
dude. They're going to have toothbrushes. They're going to
the nerd's house was
that's the
no.
thing.
My mom was a sweet Halloween house and she did good candy. So I'm gonna
that's the thing. We're the house. We're going to give you a toothbrush and a little tiny toothpaste and it's safe. You won't be scared coming up to us, but the treat's not going to be as sweet.
And it's
did you ever actually have
teeth.
A house that gave you a toothbrush and toothpaste?
I did. There was a dentist that lived in my neighborhood when I lived in Georgia and he would give out toothbrushes and, we burned his house down, which was cool. It was sort of a fun Halloween thing that we got to turn. Do.
But stuck the toothbrushes in a perimeter around the edge of his yard.
Hey
lit
guys,
each like a birthday candle.
The only ghost in this podcast today is the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you that right now because we're talking about a super non-scary movie. That movie is known to all of us far and wide as
Hocus Pocus.
And look, I know that this is a sort of a special, just a little special nugget to give everybody, but I still legally cannot talk about this movie without a synopsis from the scariest ghost in the world, Doge.
Doge.
Synopsis time.
That was a little bit the Monster Mash. I was looking through IMDb.
It was almost Mrs. Puff from SpongeBob.
It was a lot of things. I loved it.
I'm looking through IMDb, and most of the synopsises are pretty good, and that's not usually what I aim for. So I was like, crap, which one am I going to read? And then I saw there's somebody who has two discrete usernames. This week's IMDb, well, not this week, this special Saturday IMDb synopsis was written by Corey Semple, who, if you don't recognize that name, that's all right. You might also know him as Adam Sandler's Eight Sexy Nights.
Yes.
On the first of Adam Sandler's Eight Sexy Nights, my true love gave to me. 300 years ago, the Sanderson sisters had practiced witchcraft and had been punished. Mm. Now it's Halloween 1993, and Max Dennison has lit the candle that is said to bring the witches back to life. Now Max, his girlfriend Allison, and his kid sister Danny must save all the kids in Salem from the witch sisters, including leader Winifred, goofy Sarah, and high-strung Mary, who will steal the lives of children.
Hey, girlfriend feels generous.
Yeah, that was quick. They didn't even have a DTR.
Hey, look, I know we said that this episode isn't going to be scary, but that doesn't mean it's not crazy adult-themed, because we're going to talk a lot about virginity today.
Apparently so is Hocus Pocus.
Look, why? This is a short episode, so we got to burn through these points. Why is everyone in this whole movie so shocked and making fun of this middle school kid for being a virgin?
Super dump right there. This we are obsessed Disney. With this teen boy's virginity in a way that makes me quite uncomfortable.
No, I know it's Disney, but being Disney, I just don't get it. It's like full-grown adults are like, check out this virgin.
Hocus Pocus is the most Mel Brooks Disney has ever been.
I agree with that for sure.
Jokes about virginity. Clearly, like, the most wee sportsian, like, it is so objective, and it's funny. I mean, Sarah Jessica Parker's character, maybe it's just because it was Sarah Jessica Parker, and when I watched this, I was at an age that I was seeing things differently. But, you know, me and Max, which, by the way, that guy's last name, that actual actor's last name is Katz. How funny is that?
Oh, wow. That's why they cast him, I think.
It's amazing. That's why they Katz him.
I actually thought, so normally Sarah Jessica Parker, if it's not in the movie The Family Stone, Sarah Jessica Parker is typically not a selling point in anything for me. She's hilarious in this. Like, I actually thought
she's funny. Really funny. Yeah.
That feels a little generous to me.
No, I thought she was funny.
She does a good, she says the lines in the script that are supposed to be funny in a funny way. No, I haven't seen this until this time. So here's the filter I'm bringing to this. I had not seen this movie ever in my life and did not know it was different than Halloween Town or any of its numerous sequels, which I also have not seen in my life.
Okay.
Until like 2 days ago.
You had never seen Hocus Pocus?
No, sir.
Oh.
No, sir. The only ghost that lives in this brain is the Holy Ghost.
So you were a Hocus Pocus virgin, you nerd.
I was. I lit the black flame candle of weird Halloween movies. This is the weirdest thing to me. And I guess I've never really watched a movie that celebrates Halloween like it's a big holiday, except for maybe the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown thing.
And the
this
Omen.
This is like the This is the weirdest thing to me, because it really feels like they were like, let's make a Christmas movie. It's like got all of the elements of a Christmas movie, like the Santa Claus or something like that.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah,
we invent this mythology around Halloween to have it, where it's like,
well, it is
they
literally
are real. It's that you don't have the Halloween spirit. That's right. Not what Halloween's about. And it's like bizarre.
It's like, you don't believe in the Sanderson sisters? What does your family do on October 31st? Like,
for
it's
real. Like, you don't leave spiders and cobwebs out for the Sanderson sisters?
The scene where Sarah Jessica Parker ate a spider was funny and gross. Oh,
yeah, that was gross. It was yucky.
That was very gross.
Yucky.
Also, I want to give a moment to shout out to what was almost my super pump but got edged out. The school bullies are unbelievably 90s, and I loved it.
Oh, they are cartoons.
90s. They're also just Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah,
that's a little true. Bit. Yeah.
If Silent Bob talked.
Yes.
So it's just Jay and Bob.
It's Jay and Bob. It's
Jay and Loud Bob.
Jay and his good friend Bob.
Jay and Bob.
But it was classic, like,
Oh, what's up, California? What are you doing here?
Yeah.
God. Hey, Hollywood. Give me your shoes, nerd. You got any quarters, Hollywood?
They're like the bullies, like they're a little bit harsher than the bullies from Power Rangers. I don't know if y'all watched that, but those right. high school bullies.
Dude, it's like, I remember.
Yeah, they're awful.
I remember growing up afraid of that type of bully. And then I also remember realizing that that type of bully just didn't exist at this point in time. Maybe they did in the early 90s. And if you're in high school in the early 90s, maybe that type of bully was prevalent. But like, I can't imagine somebody like forcing my little sister to give them candy on Halloween. Like, people would just be like, that's not cool. That's just mean. And they'd be like, oh, sorry, man. Bullying just turned weirdly personal when we were, at least when I was growing up. It wasn't this like two dudes like breaking your stuff and stealing your candy on Halloween. So I just think it's almost weirdly charming that these two, maybe it's that the problems of the world seem so much bigger than getting my candy stolen that it was refreshing that one of the main antagonists just wanted his sister's candy in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but I liked them. I thought they were very fun.
Let's talk about our flashback at the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Binks' origins.
I'd love to just talk about Binks, too, in a second.
Sure, we'll talk about Binks in a second. Binks' origins, that whole sequence, is some of the worst accent work and costume work and set work I have seen outside. It looks like a high school production of The Crucible.
Okay, yeah.
It is rough. It is so rough. And this being with my adult eyes, the first time I've ever watched this, that immediately made it really hard to engage with this movie.
So the opening sequence was almost my super dump because of how bad it now sucks with 2020 eyes. But let's talk about Binks for a second. Specifically, so I have two things I want to say about Binks. Number one is that the actual facial animations of Binks are my super dump because they were so uncanny and disgusting that my eyes wanted to puke every time he did anything. So I hate him.
Are you ready for this?
What?
CG Binks is my super pump.
Oh.
What? Because they went for it. Because they did it. It's 1993.
No, he's so ugly.
We just, like, Jurassic Park is just out of theaters. And they're like, dinosaurs? That's too easy. We're going to do a talking cat. We had not had Jar Jar yet. We had only barely had, like, any kind of CG in movies. We'd only barely had the liquid metal Terminator. And they're like, let's jump right to talking cat.
And I don't like it.
And
I hate
his face. So bad.
With a much lower budget, by the way.
They did such a bad job. But they went for it.
He is an animatronic occasionally, and that animatronic was used as Sabrina the Teenage Witch, our nemesis, her cat.
Are you serious? This is the same cat?
Yeah,
same
they used that animatronic cat as, what's-his-face from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Salem.
Now, Salem, yeah. Now, I do want to say, the voice of Binks, did either of you guys catch who was voicing Binks?
Sean Connery. That was crazy.
No. Crazy. So, I looked this up because When Binks the cat first started talking, I was like, man, this voice sounds so much like Max Goof. I can't believe it. Mm-hmm. I went in and looked. Binks, not the same actor. So I was like, that's so weird. And the more he talked, I was like, this is definitely Max Goof. I looked. It is, in fact, the voice of Max Goof, a.k.a. Jason Marsden.
Jason Marsden.
Now,
not the same actor who plays Human Boy Binks.
Boy Binks, his accent work was so bad because he had been living in Australia and had accidentally picked up an Australian accent because he had been there for a few years, that they also had Jason Marsden dub over actor for Binks's voice. So the voice of Binks, both human and cat, is Max Goof from the Goofy movie. Jason Marsden.
Jason Marsden did so much for Disney around this time.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like he's in everything. Every Disney project around this time.
But they also, the trivia said that the directors thought that Jason Marsden was able to bring a more accurate to colonial times voice. And I just don't agree at all.
That's good. That's really good.
I can't wait until Tuesday when our episode releases on Luck of the Irish and y'all are complimenting how good the voice work was.
Versus Hocus Pocus? Maybe, guys. Versus Hocus Pocus? Maybe. It's just even the girlfriend. I'm sorry to bring it back to virginity, but this movie's not going to apologize for it. So neither am I. Even the girlfriend reacts weird when the sister's like, "He's a virgin," and it's just like, "Why is this our landing point for this 13-year-old to dunk on him?" I don't know, man. It's just so weird.
It's
am I alone on this island? I felt like it was super weird that we harped on it for so long. But yeah, that's just me. I'm just normal. You know, like my the way that I view the world is just so different. You know, like I'm just.
I mean,
out
it's
there.
Weird, but it also is Hocus Pocus. This feels like one of the more parent leaning scripts for a movie like this that Disney has done. I think that's why I say Mel Brooksian. Like it feels more of like a.
Hang on. I think I may have cracked the Da Vinci Code on this movie. Give me a second.
The Sanderson sister that rides the vacuum is very Brooks.
Oh, yeah. Well, just the Sandersons in general.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's very young Frankenstein, the three of them.
So you know how when you look at birds.
I do, yeah.
You're like, man, you used to be dinosaurs. That was cool. You guys kind of suck now. Imagine the flip side. Imagine if a bird turned into a dinosaur and you're like, you used to be so crappy, but now you're very cool. I think in that same way, I think that Hocus Pocus evolved into the Santa Claus the following year. These seem very much like the same kind of movie. And Hocus Pocus feels like they were trying it out. Like they're like, I don't know if we could do this magic holiday movie. But they went for it with the Santa Claus. Like it just, something about the vibe feels so similar. If you told me they took place in the same world, if Hocus Pocus 2 was a crossover of the Santa Claus universe and the Hocus Pocus verse, it wouldn't feel like they had a lot of legwork to do in terms of proving these are part of the same world.
Santa Pocus. Now, I think, so what you're saying is Tim Allen saw Hocus Pocus and was like, ooh, I can do this, but as Santa Claus, and I'll use it to crush the millennials. And everybody around him was like, crush the what? And he was like, you'll know.
He was like, if the Santa Claus came from Hocus Pocus, why is there still Hocus Pocus? You know?
He was like, why did Home Improvement stop because of these young ones? And they're like, young what? And what's Home Improvement? He was like, don't worry about it.
He was like,
what do you mean?
I like a world where Tim Allen only responds in grunts. Oh, man. Look, since this is a short episode, I feel the need to go ahead and talk about my super pump because it's
good.
Very
I mean, I've fulfilled my constitutional requirement to this show. Yeah, super pumped and super dumped. And now I'm just here as kind of color commentary on what you guys say.
I know there's plot. I get that. But the super pump, in fact, Doge, I'm a little disappointed. To me, there's only one option. It's Bette Midler.
Tell me what it is. Yeah, she's great.
Dude, she is hilarious. I love when she sings Put a Spell on You. It's so fun, man. I don't know. I think she is just like a complete entertainer in every sense of the word.
And for sure.
In something
I think
like
nobody
this,
watches this or talks about it almost 20 years later without her. Exactly.
Completely agreed. And it really does to me just feel like a lot of this is like roll camera on Bette and see what happens.
Yeah, sure.
She feels like a good balance of just not completely overdoing it. Like it's like, how did somebody pull off just being so campy and being so into a character without it feeling like it got done to death?
Right.
I think that was like also this time of the like early 90s, Jim Carrey was doing that with all of his characters.
Yeah.
Right. And it might even be easier to look back and be like, okay, Ace Ventura was a little much, but yeah, Bette's my super pump as well because she is it feels like she's having so much fun. I was watching on the Today Show. They were interviewing her just this week because there is going to be some kind of like reunion / something. It's not necessarily like a full film, I don't think, but there's something coming out on Halloween for like a Hocus Pocus type revisit.
As in the day this episode comes out?
The day this episode comes out. Yeah. So
I
check
saw a
that
thing
out.
About
That'll
Hocus
be on Disney
Pocus
Plus.
Hocus Pocus 2, potentially Halloween 2021 is the last thing I read. Wow. Same director attached to it as the Enchanted sequel.
Wow. So there will be some kind of announcement, I think, today about this for Hocus Pocus 2. So maybe that's what they're talking about. But yeah, love Bette Midler. I'll say a close second for me was Billy Butcherson. So Doug Jones.
Dude, yeah.
Who that for some reason, Billy Butcherson was this character that as a child, maybe because he looked kind of scary, I had blocked him out of my mind. But seeing him again and watching Hocus Pocus this time was like it was an old acquaintance. I was like, that's the, I feel like there's been a million things in my life. I was like, that reminds me of something. That looks like something. And it was Billy Butcherson, or like the way that somebody was walking.
Yeah.
I think Doug Jones has done a ton of stuff. And we never really see Doug Jones. He kind of looks like an alien. He looks like someone who would be at the Men in Black headquarters.
Yeah.
But he was like Pan's Labyrinth. He was the pale man in Pan's Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
He is the amphibian man in The Shape of Water.
He's also the amphibian man in Hellboy and Hellboy 2. Yeah,
Abe Sapien.
Heckboy, Jordan. This is a Holy Ghost only Halloween episode.
But yeah, he was a very close second, almost my super pump, but I couldn't not, you know?
Like there's a little bit of Doug like watch. It's gotta be Bette, right? Doug Watch.
We should have a Doug count.
He's probably uncredited in almost every movie.
Almost everything.
Every like a tree.
Every kind of genre fiction that we've watched, I guarantee you Doug Jones was at least called about it. He's like if Andy Serkis put on real costumes instead of computer costumes.
Yes.
I have that's actually really good what you just said. Doug Jones.
Wait, hang on. I'll say it again. Doug Jones is like if Andy Serkis put on real costumes instead of computer costumes.
It actually wasn't good, I don't think, maybe.
No, probably not.
The thing about Doug Jones is I have only seen Pan's Labyrinth once. It was a very long time ago, and I still can close my eyes and watch his character put eyeballs in his hands, and it freaks me absolutely right out, top to bottom.
What a monster.
Which I will say, it's good that we're talking about getting freaked out because in Hocus Pocus, there is nothing scary, which makes it the perfect... I was almost going to say nomination candidate for our spook-free Halloween episode.
That's true. We're not trying to scare you too bad.
Were you scared as a kid, though?
I don't think so.
Maybe by Billy Butcherson just a smidge, but no.
Butcherson gave me a smidge scare. I'll tell you that.
Especially, did you guys read that the moths were real that flew out of his mouth?
Yeah.
He actually put moths in his mouth?
Nope. Doug goes all out, dude.
Doug, that's too far for Hocus Pocus.
Hey, moths in your mouth feels like cat got your tongue a little bit to me.
Yeah,
you got he doesn't talk too
What's
much.
What's the matter,
moths
man?
In his mouth.
What's the matter, man? Moth in your mouth?
You coward? You scared?
Are you scared yet?
This movie's hard to talk about, y'all.
Now I will say, good thing some local hero suggested it be a short episode. I will say. There is, outside of the Sandersons and Billy Butcherson and stuff like that, there is a pair of characters that I feel like didn't get enough screen time and were pretty funny.
Satan and his wife.
Yes.
Yep.
Who are brother and sister in real life, by the way.
That tracks with what I know about the actual Satan, his actual wife.
What I was actually going to say, I pivoted. What I was actually going to say is... Max's parents. I thought they were super funny.
Oh, yeah,
funny.
They were good.
But as soon as you said that, I realized they're much funnier and a much better answer to that question. The dude that plays Satan and his wife are so funny. Oh, my goodness. How did I forget about them? As soon as you said it, I was like, yes, correct. They are hysterical. I feel like there's little moments like that sprinkled through that feel very Mel Brooks. That's a good call, Carter. I hadn't put that together.
There it is.
And it's kind of like...
A song, like... Yeah. A song. I was like, this is how bad my timing is when I don't have coffee. Doge was definitely going to talk about something poignant. And I thought of something. I got so excited that it was the first legitimate thing I was going to say this episode that I just screamed it.
I was going to say, it's kind of like a song that you don't really know where it's going. Like, watching this as an adult, I'm struck by... It's not quite episodic, but it's almost episodic of like the Sanderson sisters do this and that's little self-contained adventure. And then they do this little self-contained adventure and then they get burnt up in a incinerator in a high school. Yeah. And it's like made it real hard for me to gauge how far along in the story we were.
Dude, totally. Yeah. When they're back in Max's room and it's like, I guess it's
over.
Like, I don't know.
Who knows?
For now, because there's a sequel. My super dump is honestly, so I really like Dani as a character, the younger sister.
Yeah, she's great.
And I thought she had infinitely more talent and personality than anyone else in that protagonist party. And I think she should have been the all-out lead of this.
Yep.
And she wasn't. And so that's my super dump is I think, especially like for a Disney and like the juxtaposition of going up against like this timeless evil. I think it's funnier if it's the youngest, most innocent person that is main hero.
Yeah.
And I think they missed an opportunity there because I thought Thora Birch was the name of that actress. I thought she was so great.
She did a great job.
Yeah. I thought she was the funniest
sequel,
one.
I think the sequel, absolutely, if it is the Sandersons coming back, the sequel definitely needs to be Danny's daughter.
Ooh. You know there's a sequel book, right?
No, a book.
In novel form. The novelization of the movie also included a sequel story about Max and Allison's kid who unleashes the Sanderson sisters on Salem.
I don't care about Max's future.
And it's pretty much, I mean, it's pretty much the same thing again. You know, we're following that Disney trend of like an extremely goofy movie is kind of just a goofy movie again. Max is embarrassed by his goofy dad, then learns to love his goofy dad.
They got poofed. I don't know how you're going to unpoof them.
You know, that's the magic. You just don't believe in Halloween enough.
I guess maybe that's true. Hey.
You don't have enough Halloween spirit, dude.
I do think we need to rank this movie. And here's the thing. I'm calling an audible here. Hocus Pocus, it's Halloween. We have a new scale for this one.
Ooh.
Is this movie a trick or is this movie a treat?
Oh.
It's binary for Hocus Pocus. Is it Hocus or is it in fact Pocus? I'd love to go first. Ding dong. This one's a treat for me. This is worthy of an every year watch, I think. Very much like how the Santa Claus movie is actually not good, but I love it. This one's a treat.
It's a treat for me too. And I think it leans more towards like actually good. I think it was on the scientific cinema scale. It'd be like a rent buy area for me.
Sure.
Just because, and it could be, this is the one, like it feels like a Disney Channel original movie.
It does.
So it could be totally the one that I get to hold on to. Cause for some reason, because this was a little bit more mainstream, this was my experience. Like we're about to get into the DCOM series and I didn't watch any of these as a child, but I did have at least Hocus Pocus. And so
it's very good.
It meant something to me.
The old and tired eyes of an adult man are the only way that I can view this movie. And I feel like I've been tricked. This is a trick for me. I think that Hocus Pocus is so bad.
No.
It's fun.
Get out of here.
Enjoyed it. I had a very nice fall evening. I ate some delicious butternut squash soup that I prepared.
We had a
fire crackling in the fireplace and watched Hocus Pocus.
Had a Werther's original
tucked in. And Hocus Pocus was my least favorite element of that evening.
That's a pretty huge bummer.
Jeez.
Well, guys, I mean, show me a good Halloween movie.
I'm about to poop on all your DCOMs. Wait.
Don't. They're my DCOMs. Leave him out of it. He's got nothing to do with it. Doge hates everything.
You're just like an old granda.
I'm an old granda.
Hey, save it. Look, I'm
just like an old granda.
Stop.
Beggars and mash. Protect your school. Look.
Bangers and mash. That was the bullies' names, wasn't it?
Yeah, bangers and mash.
So we're obviously doing Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off next week.
Look, here's the deal.
Don't know the reference.
I'd like to end this episode because it's gone on long enough. I'd like for each of us to say our name and to say what our favorite Halloween costume we've ever dressed in is. for Two Chunks and a Hunk. I'm Jordan. And I know I already talked about it at the beginning. I didn't mean to. It's still Link for me from The Legend of Zelda.
I'm Doge. If you'd asked me 2 years ago, I would have said my super cool Jon Snow costume. But then I'm going to tell you now that that show sucks, so don't watch it. So it's going to be Obi-Wan Kenobi as a child. I was Obi-Wan. A child. Obi-Wan was an adult.
I was like, I don't remember seeing him as
baby
a child.
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan years old.
Nice. Obi-Wan year baby. Obi-Wan kababy. I don't know, man. I don't know, man.
I'm Carter, and it's my turn. And my favorite was, it's not morbid because she's alive and healthy, but when my mom was doing chemo, her wig looked like Elvis's hair. And so I put on my dad's black members only jacket and some black jeans and an Elvis wig at like 11 years old and won the Halloween costume contest at my school. So
that's awesome.
That was a big moment for me.
That's very good. I like that a lot. I can appreciate that for sure. Did you come home and say, how you doing, mama?
I mean, I was in character for 48 hours.
Woof, the lead up to that made my ears die.